B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati on a Wednesday. Fully loaded program. We got Maz, we got Murray, we got Stu and Billy Lanny behind the glass. How you fellas doing?
Good, you?
I'm just peachy. Thank you so much.
Great.
What's the matter, Murray?
Oh, no. No, I'm fine.
What's the matter? You got a little sauce there
on you. No, I don't have the ass. I'm just trying to wipe down and get in.
Aren't we all?
It did strike me last night on the way home, like that, you know, we are starting to enter that black hole in the calendar here. It's coming soon.
I don't view it that way.
I do.
Okay. You want to go home?
No, not at all. I mean, once we get past the trade deadline, the NBA trade deadline, the black hole's coming.
I actually feel good that we've got some other things to talk about, and we got some other things to talk about, and that's how we're going to start the show, with some other stuff. We'll get to football later in our continuing post-Super Bowl coverage with Paul Perillo in the 4 o'clock hour, but I want to get right back to the NBA trade deadline, give you a Bruins minute this hour as well, and talk about some proposed rule changes in Major League Baseball. So I feel like our cup is full, Maz. I want to start with the NBA trade deadline and some things that were reported overnight. Most notably, according to Sam Amick of The Athletic, the Celtics and Pelicans have discussed Jason Tatum extensively in Davis trade discussions. A source with knowledge of the talks said the potential centerpiece in a Pelicans package, 20-year-old Celtic small forward Jason Tatum, has been discussed extensively by the two teams and is expected to be a major part of the talks when June rolls around. So first of all, I want to get a full accounting of this from you and the people of Boston, frankly. Would you trade Jason Tatum to get Anthony Davis without assurances that he's re-signing? Would you trade Jason Tatum to get Anthony Davis for a year and the chance to have it longer but no assurances? Would you do it, yes or no?
No.
Yes. Yeah, because there's not an unknown with Anthony Davis outside of some, you know, injury issues, but you know what he is. There's still an unknown in terms of upside with Jason Tatum. I think that it's there. I thought he was going to make the leap into being a top 10 NBA player this year. It hasn't happened. You got to make that move, and you have to hope that Anthony Davis gets here and you can convince him, and that calms Kyrie Irving down, and he'll decide to sign here once 2020 comes.
How do you think fans feel? Oh, Twitter poll.
Oh, that's easy. I can answer that for you.
Well, let's predict it. How do fans feel?
No.
Yes.
No.
I love it.
Oh, no. I say no.
I love it.
Are you kidding me? You mentioned Jason Tatum, and they all got, like, green vegetables growing in their pants.
No, I think
for crying out loud.
Zucchinis.
I think it's changed because, look, over the last 10 games, they've looked a hell of a lot better. When Kyrie's played, he's been playing at an MVP level, but there's still a missing piece here. Anthony Davis is that missing piece.
Okay, so it's a simple question, and we haven't hit it this head on. I've said this forever, that if the Pelicans are going to wait for you, and not make a deal by tomorrow afternoon, that the only guy worth waiting for here is Tatum.
No question.
The only thing that makes it different than the Lakers is Tatum. Okay? So Tatum has to be involved there if the Celtics are serious about this. Should they be without assurances from Anthony Davis? If Anthony Davis says he'll sign, then that's a whole different thing, and I think it's, you know, much easier. It feels like, and according to Anik and others, the Celtics have put him on the board without the assurance from Davis. And it's clear Davis would rather be in Los Angeles than here. We spent all day yesterday trying to drive home. Davis doesn't want to be here. Okay? Or it's not his first choice anyway. That's for sure. So he's not going to commit here. Would you trade Tatum for Davis without the assurance of him re-signing? Murray says yes. Maz says no. I ask, what do you think the people are going to say? Murray says yes. Maz says no. So, Jimmy, what's your Twitter poll? How's it phrased, please? Because the language is important.
As I'm typing it out, would you trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis without assurances that Anthony Davis would be a member of the Celtics for more than 1 year?
Okay, perfect. I bet you. So, God, I guess I got to weigh in on that.
Yeah, fence boy.
Yeah.
No, don't worry. Just facilitate the discussion.
Well, so look, there are a lot of spinoffs on this discussion, right?
But I'm with Maz. The green teamers love their homegrown guys, no matter who they are, frankly, by the way. Whether your homegrown guys can play or they suck. A lot of you didn't want to trade Al Jefferson. A lot of you didn't want to trade Avery Bradley. A lot of you didn't want to trade Jay Crowder. A lot of you didn't want to trade Isaiah Thomas. The Celtic fan tends to overrate their own guy.
Yeah, I mean, I fell into that at one point. And you got to realize there's a ceiling with these guys. Or
apparently you still do.
In the case of Tatum, there's an unknown. So, I'm sorry. Like, you've got to do it for Anthony Davis. It gives you a better shot at almost an immediate title. And you have to think that they can be able to convince him to stay here long term. I know, look, all the signs point to he wants nothing to do with playing for this team and being in this city. But you got to get him here and figure it out later.
I mean, there's only one reason to really do it without assurances, and that's because you keep Kyrie. Like, that you think it'll help you keep Kyrie.
Okay, but in this question, in this conversation, that you can factor it in, but
no, I'm treating it in a vacuum. Would you do it? My answer is no.
Okay. And so neither would I. And my guess is most Celtics fans are going to say the same thing because they overrate their own guy. And not that Tatum's overrated yet. We don't know. He could be a really, special player. I acknowledge that. So that's interesting. So it'll be, we'll give you the first results here by the end of this first segment in 7 minutes. And as polling tends to happen, as we've proven a million times on this show, that first result sort of sticks.
Oh, yeah. No. The first 2%, that exit polling thing works.
It does. It does here on the Felger and Maz Twitter poll. So, that's on our Twitter feeds. So weigh in on that. And we'll have an early result before we leave this segment. So what I love, too, is sort of the spinoff conversation from it, which is, so Zach Lowe wrote about this on ESPN, that, he cites the Sam Anik report on The Athletic that he's been discussed extensively. He says this is unprecedented, Zach Lowe does on ESPN. Teams almost pre-negotiating a trade 5 months before they can execute it. He says, think of everything that could happen between now and then. Tatum could get hurt. Davis could get hurt. Toronto could sweep Boston in the second round and shove Kyrie Irving further out the door into free agency. And that changes the whole dynamic. So negotiating a trade 5 months before you can do it, and all those variables and the ones that he lists are obviously there, but I think he's leaving out a big one. And I've touched on this a little bit, but this is a big variable that I think is really on the table. Because I'm sort of buying into the way the Celtics are playing recently and the standings. What if you go on a real run? I mean, a real run where you get through the East. And I think it's more possible by the day, frankly. If you're going to be getting some home playoff games and you're now the 3 seed and, I think you can catch Toronto. I don't know about Milwaukee, but if you're only playing one series on the road, East Finals, you and Milwaukee, Game 7 in Milwaukee, I give you a chance there, a real chance. And then you go to the finals, and then you've always matched up well with Golden State, and you really give them a run. You give them a run, 6-7-game series. And Jason Tatum's a big part of it. And then Danny Ainge is going to turn around and trade Jason Tatum? Do you understand the outcry? Celtics fans love their guys to begin with, never mind the young guys that take you to Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Do you know how much harder it's going to be on Ainge to trade Tatum and follow through on his promise to New Orleans if they go on a real run, which I think is possible?
He'll still do it. He proved this with the Isaiah Thomas trade.
This is different.
The guy was as beloved here as any other athlete at that time, and he played. Look, as much as I kind of ragged on that team and him, and I saw what the ceiling was, people loved him, and he played his ass off during that run, and he still traded his ass. He'll do the same thing to Tatum because he's been obsessed with Anthony Davis for years.
I'm just telling you, there's a whole other dynamic that Zach Lowe hasn't accounted for and others should account for. If they really go on a run, and Tatum's a big part of it, he's going to be harder to trade. From your standpoint, from the Celtics standpoint, how can we give up this guy? He's got his whole career ahead of us, and he's already proven he can be this kind of guy. I mean, if you take the Warriors to 6 or 7 games, and then Durant leaves, and the whole, and or Klay Thompson leave, and the whole...
Right, the hierarchy of the league changes.
The whole deck chairs rearrange, you're suddenly the favorite next year as is. And you're going to disrupt that for Anthony Davis?
Okay,
without an assurance that he's staying long-term?
He would. Danny would do it.
Without an assurance that he's staying long-term, if they go to Game 6 or 7 of the NBA Finals and Golden State dismantles even a little bit, oh, That would be dumb.
Okay, so again, look, this is where you say, you know, we can all sit here and say no assurances. But the fact is, the Celtics probably already know. Or they already know on some level, or they're going to find out whether or not the guy really has any desire to be here beyond 1 year if Kyrie is still here. Here's the other thing. Trading Tatum for Davis, does it make you better?
Yeah, I'll leave that to the NBA experts. I think so.
Okay, so then you do it. I mean, to me, it's that now, but do, you know, don't go by me because I'd trade anybody.
I'm just telling you.
I mean, including anybody.
People are not accounting for this changing. That the Celtics, who may have gotten their act together, put it together, challenge Golden State. They're not going to beat Golden State. Like, I'm not on that level. But, you know, take a couple games from Golden State, make it a 6-game series, 7-game series maybe, and then Golden State, Durant goes to New York or Klay Thompson goes to the Lakers, and so the now it's no longer Golden State's league, and you're the team as is. You're going to trade Tatum right there for Anthony Davis without the assurance from Anthony? Like, no, they're not. They shouldn't.
How's that game that they lose in that finals look? Is it like the second half of Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavs, and they're chucking up prayers that keep clanging off the rim? Like,
I wouldn't be so short-sighted. I'd look at my roster versus the league's, and it's possible.
Anthony Davis is a proven stud. Even if they go on a deep run, you still have to make that move.
I just think Kyrie and Anthony Davis is better than Kyrie and Tatum. And a huge variable there is Davis's age. If Davis were Garnett's age when they got him, I would agree with you. But, you know, to me, I hear you, though. Listen, if Tatum, like, you know, if he plays like the MVP of the Eastern Conference Finals.
If he's your second best player on a championship run, not a championship, but a championship run. They don't even need the championship. A championship run. And he's your second best player and he's 20 or whatever. And his cost control. And meanwhile, you've promised Dell Demps. Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis, who hasn't committed to you beyond a year, and frankly, as we can tell, doesn't really want to be here. You would have to be patently stupid to make that trade at that juncture. And if I'm the Pelicans, I got to realize that. That's got to be in my thinking. Yes, on the face of it, it makes a lot of sense for us to wait because Tatum's going to be there. No one can match Tatum, but what's the real guarantee that it's Tatum? And there's all sorts of bad reasons why Tatum wouldn't be available. He gets hurt. The Celts, on the other end of the spectrum, they get swept in the second round. Kyrie bolts and now Tatum. They can't trade, but I think there's a whole nother scenario on the other side that things work out so well that you're now sitting here going, well, and Durant just left. We're now the best team in the league.
So what would you do if you were New Orleans?
I'd take the bird in hand.
I wouldn't. No way.
And I'm not telling you that it's necessarily the Lakers, but I would not wait for Jason Tatum. I'll put it to you like that. Okay, I'm not telling you they have to take the Lakers off, or maybe there's a better offer around the league. But I'm not waiting for Jason Tatum. There's too many things that could take him off the board in the interim. Too many things.
Yeah, to me, though, the better thing to do is to wait. And the reason why I said, now, look, I suppose you're factoring in an extra postseason for the team that gets Anthony Davis if it's a team that's a contender right now. But I also look at it and say, the market will be better in the offseason. It's always better in the offseason.
Is it?
Yes. Because teams can have so much more flexibility because they can rip apart their rosters. Everybody's maneuvering in the offseason. Right now they aren't. And I feel this in every sport. The offseason is when you can make the blockbusters. Them in season in the middle of a year is hard.
Porzingis just went. Tobias Harris just went.
Tobias Harris is a blockbuster?
Yeah, I don't know.
And Porzingis is hurt.
There was a couple of years ago the deadline was through the roof, wasn't it? What was the one a couple of years ago where there was all sorts of crap?
I'm just telling you that I think the biggest of the big names in that league go in the offseason. Kawhi Leonard went in the offseason.
Did Paul George go in the offseason or a deadline?
He went at the draft. Before the draft.
He went at the draft.
Yeah, I think they all do. I think you got more suitors, okay. More flexibility.
Jimmy Butler early this season?
Okay, all I'm telling you is Butler was in season. Very good.
It's a good one.
Okay, all I'm telling you is, if I'm the Pelicans, I'm not waiting on Tatum. There's too many things that could go wrong on either side that he's not going to be there. And Celtics fan, without an assurance from Davis, would you trade Jason Tatum? Would you trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis without an assurance from him that he's here long-term? Poll results so far, Stuart.
1,869 votes. 28% say yes. 72% say no.
Told you.
Thank you.
Yes.
You people are morons.
But I predicted that.
And yep. So did I, ultimately. Yes. I took the fence.
They love their green babies. They love them. They love the green babies. They love them. Once they pop out of the womb, if the skin's green, they love them.
Short-sighted fools. Oh, my Lord. I can't believe that poll. 73-27 I'm looking at right now.
I'm willing to bet the numbers were similar, Al Jefferson for Garnett. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I said. Were. Exactly. Exactly. There were a lot of people who didn't want to trade Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. So, ultimately, that's right. That's right.
How could you move Jay Crowder in that deal?
No, you got it right, though, Murray. They're boobs.
So let's say if...
I wouldn't want to trade Tyler Zeller.
Our exit polling usually stands up, so it's like... It's what, 3-1, Maz? Something like that. Keep Jason Tatum over Anthony Davis.
I knew it.
Okay, we continue. Keep voting. We'll see if the other side can make a comeback. Your thoughts right after this.
This is Felger and Maz.
On 98.5.
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Max.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
There was a chant tonight that it was LeBron's going to trade you to Kuzma and Ingram.
Yeah.
How sensitive are you to that notion?
And that's just fans being fans. And if you let that bother you, you're in the wrong sport. Fans are going to be fans. I've heard it all. I've been in rival games pretty much my whole life since I started playing ball. So the things I've heard is way worse than that. So.
So interesting night for LeBron and the Lakers last night. That's LeBron. They were in Indiana, right?
Yes. They got absolutely schwacked.
One of the worst regular season losses LeBron's ever had?
I think the worst.
The worst. The worst.
By 42.
And during the game, Brandon Ingram's at the free throw line and the crowd's chanting, LeBron's trying to trade you.
So great. And you see the shot, too, where LeBron's basically sitting alone on the bench and every other player is like 6 seats away from him.
You said Brandon Ingram had a good quote about it?
Yeah, they asked Brandon Ingram about it after the game. No, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I made the free throws. It's not about the free throws. They're going to ship your ass right up.
Okay, so... credit to the Celtics that it hasn't, at least on the face of it, affected their young guys, right? Because they're in not the exact same boat. I mean, they're not going to be traded in the next 2 days. But, the clock is ticking on their young players if Anthony Davis doesn't go by tomorrow. If Anthony Davis doesn't go by tomorrow, then Tatum, Brown, Rozier, Smart, whoever, you're in that spot. You're lame duck. And you got to wonder how that's going to affect the Celtics. So maybe that affects their ability to go on a deep run. But it's sure as hell affected the Lakers last night.
Oh, my gosh. And then, then later in the game, and I can't remember who it was. It was some other stiff on the Lakers who was shooting free throws. And the fans started chanting, nobody wants you. But this is the reality of life in the NBA in this era. LeBron runs the league.
But this is one of my side... I have 2 side points today. This is one of them. If Magic and that team just hadn't drafted LeVar Ball or Lonzo Ball and drafted Jason Tatum, they'd have Anthony Davis. It goes back to how Philly and the Lakers butchered the top of that draft. And I mean butchered. The Lakers still have a chance with Ball, I guess. I don't know. Is Markel Fultz even playing? Do they shut him back down? I stopped keeping track. Where
they
is
shut him down again.
They shut him down again. Both of them can't shoot. One guy, clinically can't shoot. Fultz, mental case. And Lonzo Ball just, all those teams had to do was draft Jason Tatum. And all their problems are solved.
It would have been really that easy.
If the Lakers just draft Jason Tatum at 2 instead of Ball, they don't have to go through all this nonsense. Davis is there. Just think of that. They draft the UCLA kid because they were looking for headlines in L.A.?
Oh. And they had Brandon Ingram, who is kind of the same thing as Jason Tatum.
Oh, brother. Seriously.
What a mistake.
What? So, I mean, Ainge still just pants those teams on that draft.
Oh, no, no. He totally undressed them. I mean, again, the top three right there, right? Because the consensus was Fultz, Ball. And, you know, in Ainge's mind, that wasn't right, and he nailed it, and the other two took the cheese.
And remember, he also traded down and got an extra pick out of it. They were sitting there, so they didn't end up at three. He traded down to three. So what an absolute pantsing Danny Ainge pulled off there. But because NBA veterans are NBA veterans and free agency is free agency, you still sort of look like you're sitting here with your Schmenzer in your hand. And you might trade Jason Tatum for just a year of Anthony Davis. Would you really want to do that? John in Plymouth, lead us off. Would you really want to do that?
No. All right. So what you started is this is in two parts. I don't think I'd want to trade for AD just because I think for a one-year thing, I really believe he would ditch us for L.A. or anywhere else from what I've heard from him and his dad. But I think just his health and Kyrie's health, I think it's just a little bit too much of a risk for me right now in terms of a one-year kind of go for it all. But, and this is where I want you guys to kind of think, especially with how you guys have been kind of talking about how Danny Ainge pants those other teams, is there any way that he's kind of trying to play them now? I mean, with all of our assets and all of...
Let me just stop you because you're taking too long. Is there any way that Danny Ainge is delaying this just to turn around and pork the Pelicans next offseason?
Sure.
Yeah. Is this Dell Demps? Is that the gym? Whoever.
Yeah.
Dell. All of our guys are on the table. All of our guys, all of our picks, we'll talk about them all. They're all on the table. Then you get to the offseason, Danny says, yeah, let's talk about it. Well, you can have Jason Tatum, but nothing else. Or, yeah, I said he was on the table, but, you know, you see what I'm saying?
Like, sure.
Danny can totally play that game. And I'm telling you, if they go on a deep run, get to the NBA Finals, and Tatum's a part of it, it's going to be really hard for Danny Ainge to pull that trigger. Really hard.
Yeah, see, I don't think it'll be as hard as you do because he'll trade anybody.
Even if 80% of Celtics fans, that's where we are right now.
How many of them would have traded Isaiah?
Okay, 50-50.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a 50-50 trade, Maz.
By the way,
revisionist history, Mike.
You think the majority of Celtics fans were against the Isaiah Thomas trade?
Yeah,
no.
They were.
No. Oh, fans loved
him. They were out of their minds about that.
How many fans?
I'd say like 70-30 at least.
I don't know if it was 70-30, but it wasn't 50-50.
Come on.
65% of Celtics fans wanted to keep Isaiah Thomas.
I'm telling you, Ainge.
Do we have old poll results on that?
No, that's just what I remember in my mind.
Ainge would trade anybody. He would trade anybody. He would trade Kyrie if he had to.
Okay.
He has to.
If they pull it together and show that they, you know, and they go on this deep run and Tatum's a big part of it and they get to the NBA Finals and then he trades Tatum for 1 year of Anthony Davis, that's dumb. He shouldn't. I mean, would he? I guess. Should he? Please.
Okay, so look, I wouldn't trade him for 1 year of Anthony Davis either, but I also think that they're going to break the rules and they'll tamper and they'll find out. Like, to me, that's, you know, you have to do that because otherwise, what's the point?
I think, by the way, that Danny Ainge would have done this with Paul George a few years ago, but I don't think he would have with Jimmy Butler. So I think it's player dependent on all of this. And Anthony Davis, I think, is a player Danny would gamble on.
Okay, but George and Butler, wasn't that really pre-Tatum? It was before you knew what Tatum was.
Correct.
Well, that was, I believe, the year you had the number three pick, which was Tatum, okay. Which would have been Tatum.
No, it was draft collateral. No,
so it's easy to pick a nameless draft pick. It's harder to pick a guy that now you look at and say, this guy could be it. That's much harder. Derek in Foxborough, should they trade Tatum for Anthony Davis?
Yeah, I think they should because I actually think they can convince Davis to stay. All the people, it's LeBron and his agent. They're the ones who don't want him in Boston.
Derek, Derek, Derek,
Kyrie,
Derek,
leaving the Cavs.
People are leaving this out. Anthony Davis hired LeBron's agent. Anthony Davis wanted LeBron's agent. Derek.
Listen, LeBron's agent doesn't want him with Boston.
Okay, Derek's not listening. Anthony Davis chose that representation. This is what people are leaving out. Oh, I hear this all the time from the Green Teamers. Well, LeBron's agent's just really throwing up bullcrap. He's just pulling the strings. Anthony Davis wants him doing it. Anthony Davis hired this guy. Okay? Anthony Davis wanted this course of action. So Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker. Did that make him stupid? Maybe. Is that... mean that he has the misplaced priorities? Maybe. Sure. He wants it. He's the one that hired LeBron's agent to do all the things that LeBron agents is doing. He wants him to do it.
Okay, but again, so use your logic, though, in that let's say the Celtics make the deal, and then Davis gets here and they make a run and that they, you know, win a championship or come close.
Yep.
He's going to walk away from that?
No, he might not. He might not.
I mean, so look, it's now you, I mean, and this is the poker that exists in that league.
I think it's a long shot, though. I mean, it's going to be a long, if he's this set on going to LA, that he hired LeBron's guy. I mean, if he's that set on it, it's going to have to be a hell of experience here for him, man. It's going to have to be royal ass wipers and flower petals and championships. And you know what I mean? Like, that's a long shot, but it's possible. Sure. It's possible he could change his mind and like it here and want to stay here. But that, it's going to take a lot.
I'm telling you, just the turns in that league, you never know what the hell is coming. This is what I do know. If I'm the Celtics, I'd be terrified right now. I'd be terrified because the fact that Anthony Davis and LeBron are basically sleeping together, and I'm giving that's metaphorical.
I got it.
Okay. The fact that they are sleeping together throws a massive wrench into my plan because we all know that Danny Ainge has been building to this thing for years. He has been waiting for this guy to come available, waiting for it. Now all of a sudden the guy comes available and he gives him the finger and says, I'm going to LA. Oh, please, the Celtics are crapping their pants over this thing.
Here's Murray's update, and we're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The horn is going to sound here at TD Garden. Two goals by Patrice Bergeron playing in his 1,000th game. Tuukka Rask being celebrated tonight. He wins his franchise record 254th game, and the Boston Bruins have won two straight games against the Metropolitan Division leading Islanders this year. The final, Bruins 3 and the Islanders 1.
Okay, here's a Bruins minute for you. It's been forever since we talked about them, so we'll give you a couple minutes. First, they were lucky to win last night. Islanders score to go up 2-1 in the third period, and they go to review, and they are offside by a half of an inch. I think it was the right call, but oof, it was
close,
super close.
That was a ballsy challenge, though, wasn't it?
So, well, because they go down to two men, or they go down a man, they get a delayed game penalty if they're wrong. Except it was, I don't know, 2-1 midway through the third. That's a game-winning goal, the way the Islanders are playing.
Well, and the way that, right, they're the lowest goals against in the league, right?
So, you know, lucky win, but you end up getting them. It's not like you were vastly outplayed. And in the last two games, you've now beaten the two best teams in the East. Well, I'm sorry, two nemesis. Tampa's the best team in the East. But a team that had beaten you, what was that Washington streak at before?
14. They were 0-11-3.
So I put them as the best team in the East. The defending Stanley Cup champions and a team you haven't beaten, I can't tell you the last time. Years, half decade or something. I don't know. So you beat Washington on Super Bowl Sunday, and then the Islanders were leading the Metropolitan going into last night, and you beat them. And it just sort of continues. What I would say is I think the team's played really well given the circumstances. I mean, you just have to be pleased with the way that they've played if that's all that you're looking for. In other words, I mean, they're in the playoffs solidly. They went a whole month plus without Bergeron. They went a whole month plus without Chara. There was a time when they went without both of them together. And their roster is meh, and they've been it the whole way, and they've gotten good results. And so, like, just on that level, like how the players have played and the coach has coached, I think they've sort of maxed out what they could be. Now, the issue is the roster. It's not good enough. And that's where you look at it, and now you look at, you know, just talking about deadlines, the hockey deadline here is another couple of weeks. They have to be careful. They have to be careful about what they do because there is no move that they could make that's going to close the gap on Tampa Bay. There is none. Tampa is, they were clearly better than you last year, and they're clearly better than you this year, and their roster if their roster is a 9.5 on a scale of 1 to 10, yours is a 7, and there's no move that's going to get you up to 9, you're just not going to close the gap on them talent-wise. The only shot you have of really going on a run is if there's a big upset. And that means either someone else upsets Tampa or you upset them. And it's just got to be one of those things where a goalie steals a series. And if it's going to be your guy, then you go, good luck. But someone else has to do it to Tampa. Because the rest of the field, the Bruins might be in it. I don't know. I wouldn't love their chances against the Capitals or the Penguins even. But, I don't know, of the 8 playoff teams in the East, I think they would match up with 5 or 6 of them. But not Tampa, and I still don't like him against Holtby. Holtby owns that ass. Owns that ass.
I mean, the goal they scored against him over the weekend was a nice goal. It took a perfect setup.
One.
Right, that was it. No, they won the game 1-0, right? But it was, they needed like a perfect setup to score on him.
Okay, so what are you going to do? If Tampa's, you can't close a gap on Tampa, they don't love you matching up with the Capitals. The rest, maybe flip a coin on any other series. Pittsburgh, I don't know where you put them. But are you trading a first-round pick for another rental?
No.
Are you trading a young player that you really like for something when it's not going to close the gap? You got to be careful. Like, I know this sounds lame, but you almost got to kind of take your lumps and hope for an upset. Because I don't think there's anything you can do roster-wise to close the gap. Your roster's not good enough. It's not good enough. It wasn't good enough going into the year, and it's still not. I mean, if you've checked out on the Bruins through this Patriots run, I mean, I don't blame you. You tune in last night, who's skating alongside DeBrusk and Krejci? Solarik.
Oh, yeah, he's Solarik, yeah.
Solarik, whatever. It's like every time you look up, there's another stiff on that right side of David Krejci. And I don't mean to be mean to the Ryan Donatos of the world, but every time you look up, it's someone new. It's some sort of a young guy, roster piece, AHL guy. They have nothing, zero. They have nothing to put there. And their third line blows. David Backes is going to be benched again last night, tomorrow night, I guess.
For tonight's game, yeah.
They're playing tonight?
Yeah, at the Rangers, yeah.
He's toast. They called up this Trent Frederick. Does he really make a difference? What else was on that line? Frederick, Backes, and I can't even tell you.
Nordstrom.
Okay, right. So this is my point.
Their third line is garbage. Their fourth line's actually gotten to the point where it's pretty good.
Fourth line's been terrific. Fourth line's terrific. They found it. They hit on another fourth line that's a real impact and fine. Their first and their fourth line, fine. Their second line is, you know, half of a line. So, but this is the exact same thing we said going into the year. The exact same thing. The right wing next to Krejci and that whole third line. And they have nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing's worked. And I don't think there's anything they can do at the deadline to close the gap.
You gotta completely stand pat. You don't owe Bergeron and Chara to do something here.
They'll never do it. They'll never do it. But the smart thing might be even to sell. I mean, it might be. If someone wants to take Krejci off your hands, I'd do it. If someone wants to rent Chara, I'd consider it. I would, because I think it's going to be really hard for them.
So look, I haven't looked at the free agent market yet, and when I say that, because I think it's important. If there's garbage out there in free agency, well, then you got to make a deal for a guy with term.
I don't think there is. I haven't looked it up, but, you know, Tarasenko and Panarin, aren't these guys on the trade market because they're going to be up? Panarin is. So I don't know. They want to go deep into free agency? I don't know. They just got to be careful. They just got to be careful. I mean, and I'd say overall, you got to be pleased with how they played given all their injuries.
It's a ballsy team.
I mean, to miss Bergeron and Char for that length of time and together and to still be where they are, that's pretty good. I think Cassidy's done an excellent job. I still do.
Since he took over, he has.
I think his 2 years have been stellar. I really do. You know, even this thing, we didn't pay attention to it because it was at the Super Bowl, but they suffered a bad loss against someone, and he called out Chara? He, like, called out Chara. And he called out the defense in general and said, you know, our scoring is what it is. Our roster is what it is. We got to win on DM. We can't.
Yeah, it was against Philly, I think, last week.
And he called out Zdeno Chara. And I think since that game, they shut out the Capitals and held the Islanders to one goal and have won both. So, like, I just think he continues to, I think he's done a really good job. He's just limited. That roster's limited.
Just quickly, Tarasenko's got a lot of term left.
He does.
And a good money.
He's huge.
No. Good money.
Oh, meaning it's
his
a good
cap hits 7.5. And
he becomes your highest paid player there.
Okay, but it's not 10. Like, well, what did Tavares just get? Like, you know, 7.5 for that guy? I'd pay that. And he signed through 2023.
Okay. goodbye, Charlie McAvoy and Jake DeBrusk.
Okay, so I'm not telling you I want to give up McAvoy, but I'm just telling
you. That's what it's going
to take. Well, I'm just telling you that my only point was, depending on who's on the market, if the free agent market sucks
right.
and you're going to have to overpay for that kind of guy, you're better off making a trade. If it's a guy with term, you're better off making a trade.
I feel like they have a ton of tradable pieces because no other young guy has emerged this year. You know, unless you want to count like Brandon Carlo, who has had a great year and has sort of gone back on that track to developing into something real. But I just think that, you know, there's a real, I think this, the Bruins are just kind of in a little bit of a purgatory situation here. And they got to be careful not to reach too far this year because the Lightning are just so much better than you and everybody, I think. So there's your Bruins Minute. We get back to your calls on everything right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's nothing new. I've been in situations, you know, here my first year, we traded most of our team before the trade deadline, so that week was pretty uneventful. And then the second year, you know, it was nothing's going to happen up till 10 minutes before. And then in the last 10 minutes, I got two phone calls and all of a sudden you traded away two and brought in three. So you never know, but I will say this over the last couple of years, you know, people have made a big deal out of the trade deadline, but we've been more, quiet than not. And, you know, obviously when you're talking about a team in the middle of the year, you've got to figure out how you can be the best version of yourselves. There's short and long-term things to manage there. But we do like our team and, you know, it would have to be something that, I'm guessing would knock our socks off to make us move. I don't see, you know, obviously you pay attention to the rumors and you hear all the talk and everything else, but until Danny comes to me with something that's concrete and actually has legs, I don't really pay much attention to it.
Brad Stevens on the trade deadline in general. Sort of a secondary story there of the Celtics go get a piece. That's different than and secondary. Way down the line from what happens with Anthony Davis and Kyrie is on your radar with, again, his sort of hinting that he's going to make up his own mind on July 1st and he may not come back. Like, those are the big things with the Celtics, obviously, not whether they make a secondary deal at the deadline tomorrow. So we continue with your thoughts right here. Cam and Taunton, what do you got for us today, Cam?
Anxious for no reason.
Cam.
Hello.
You're on the air, Cam. Go.
How's it going? I find this so hilarious, the Lakers, seeing how they're squirming like this, because this is what happens when you bring in LeBron and he ruins your team. I mean, look, he's worth it because he's so brilliant. But you guys didn't mention the best detail of this whole thing. There's a report out there that Rondo, at halftime, came out of the locker room and went to the guy sitting courtside on the opposite end of the Lakers coaches and paid him to have that seat to be as far away from LeBron as possible. That's what's happened in that Lakers locker room.
So what?
That's what LeBron's caused, and it's hilarious.
So what? Who's going to win the next championship? Who's better positioned to win the next championship? Who's better positioned to win the next championship?
Well, if they don't get Anthony Davis, it's the Celtics. I mean, if the Lakers don't get Anthony Davis, it's the Celtics.
I got a lot of money out. I've had this out for years. The Lakers are going to win the next championship.
Okay, but again,
I mean, they're going to win a championship before you.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to bust your balls. I'm just telling you it's a different question. You do sacrifice something for LeBron. Okay. I'm telling you, I would do it too.
The Celtics are closer, but the Lakers are going to win the next one. The Lakers are going to win before you. And not because they've done anything right or that there's anything functional about that situation. They're the Lakers. If you don't appreciate this, you don't know your history. They always get the guy. They always get the guy. Okay? Starting from Wilt to Kareem to Shaq, you name it, they're going to get the guy. Anthony Davis is in line to be the next great Lakers center, and it's a matter of time. I think.
So, look, the lure to go to L.A. is just, you know, for these guys to pass up in that league is way too hard. Okay, so, you know, do I think Anthony Davis is probably going to end up in L.A.? Yep, I do. But you know what I find interesting about the whole LeBron element in L.A.? He doesn't have the leverage he usually does. He signed for 4 years. There's no opt-out in there. Jimmy Stewart, correct me if I'm wrong, there's no opt-out.
That's correct. He is committed to them.
So what's he going to do? Sorry, LeBron, sit tight. You got to wait. You have to wait. Now, he's trying to put pressure, and I get it. But with Cleveland, there was always the threat of an opt-out. I'm out of here. See you later. And they had no choice.
Well, no, but he doesn't need to leverage the Lakers. They're all on the same page. Magic want the buses and Magic are willing to give up whatever it takes and pay whatever it takes to bring in whatever they can. So I don't think, you know, LeBron was constantly at odds with Gilbert and who he was going to pay and who he was going to bring in. I don't think he needs to do that with Magic.
Yeah, but what happens when he doesn't get what he wants?
Yeah, he'll be a pain, but I think Magic is, I think he's ready for it.
Well, okay, but my only point is that typically LeBron could leave.
Yeah.
He forces you to do it.
Right.
He doesn't just do it on good faith. Now, do I think the Lakers want to get good? Sure. But LeBron's kicking and screaming right now for Anthony Davis, and I don't blame him. I mean, they set the whole thing up. But he can't leverage the Lakers like he has other teams.
I just don't think he needs to. Fred in North Grafton. Go ahead, Fred.
This is on the Celtics. Let Kyrie go. Forget Davis, and you're going to have a much better team for the future. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay. I don't agree with that, but I don't think it's as crazy as you people do. Jimmy's putting his head in his hands.
I'm with Jimmy on this. Ugh. Another NBA middler.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
He said
you're Denver. You're Indiana.
Okay, but then wait. So instead, let's push all of our chips into the middle of the table for a Hail Mary, a long shot, that Kyrie stays and Anthony Davis changes his mind and decides to stay here.
Yeah.
That's too much of a risk for
I mean, do
zero.
You want to wait another 10 years for a championship? I mean, Danny's been here for 17. He's got one.
No, you don't need to remind me of this.
Well, I feel like I have to remind Celtics fans of this. He's got one in 17.
So
how long are we going to rebuild for?
At least you have the fallback of what you've built so far. If you push that whole rebuilding in the middle of the table for two guys who may not want to be here. I mean, Anthony Davis doesn't. We know that for a fact right now. And Kyrie? I don't know if that's the right thing to do. If those guys were fully committed, sure. Yes. If Davis and Kyrie are committed and re-signed, yes, take it all. But without that commitment, that's too much of a risk.
Do you think they would do it completely blind?
No, I don't think they would do it completely blind.
So this is all my point. Is like, you know, now look, blindly, would I do it? No.
Okay, blindly Murray would do it. Blindly, it sounds like Stewart would do it.
Yeah, to me, again, the only reason to do it blindly is that it allows you to keep Kyrie. You can then look at Kyrie and sign him long-term and say, you know, Kyrie would have a choice. Now, Kyrie starts playing games, you know, 1-1. I can opt out after one more year, and then we'll revisit. And then you got a real question to answer.
All right, I just wanted to get a gauge of Celtics Nation because I thought they would feel this way, but I wanted to put it to the people. So we did send out a Twitter poll. Green Teamers, would you trade Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis, knowing that Anthony Davis is not assuring you an extension? Okay, he might do it, but you get no assurances. Jason Tatum for Anthony Davis without the promise of an extension from Anthony Davis. Would you do it? Jimmy, poll results, please.
6,371 votes. 26% say yes. 74% say no.
You talked over each other. I don't know what anyone said.
Sorry, 6,372 votes because I just cast one. Go ahead.
Jimmy.
Hang on. Let me refresh the
please,
page.
Please, thank
Maz.
You. Yep.
26% yes, 74% no.
I'm telling you, that first result, that was those almost exact numbers when we did it with 600 votes or 1,000 votes. Those exit polls, man, except for last year, they didn't work out so good. But generally, those exit polls, we see where that comes from. And that's holding. 75-25 basically?
Yeah.
75-25. Hold on to Jason Tatum over Anthony Davis.
Three out of every four people keep Tatum. The other one's Murray.
And Stu.
I'm just going to make new Celtics shirt. Just waiting. Just keep waiting. We'll just keep waiting. Yeah, it'll come here eventually. We'll get a title of it one of these years.
Well,
right?
I'll tell you what. I mean, does a Celtic fan have to have a championship?
No, this is one of the like the most ironic things about it.
I don't think they do. Not like the other teams. Like, Bruins fans are like throwing themselves off of bridges over this stuff. The Celtics fan? I don't know. Just give me a good dipsy-doo dunkaroo. I just want to hear the announcer at home go, Kyrie for three, and you all get to stand up and cheer. And like, I think you're happy just, I don't think you need championships.
I
like
felt
the other
that
teams.
Way, Mike, until they lost game seven and LeBron James pantsed you. I think there were people who were legitimately pissed they missed an opportunity at the finals. And I feel like Celtics fans right now, for a time, were pissed that this team wasn't, they were 10-10. And I feel like there was a lot of anger there.
Okay, well,
I'm telling you, Celtics fans are green pigs happy to roll around in the mud. That's what they're
I don't
green
think
mud.
So. I don't think so this year. I think there were real expectations of them being in the finals against the Warriors,
okay,
and they're not being met.
How come there's no urgency on this poll then? How come people are willing to just stay the course with young guys versus trading for one of the transformative players in the league?
Because it's the internet.
No, because they're spoiled. Because Celtics have the, you know, the 17 champion or 18, whatever it is. They have all the titles that they've won, and they're spoiled. They're appeased. They're completely complacent about it. They're willing to wear hats. All right, we've had ours. No big deal. We'll wait a little longer.
Okay, we're opening with some other items other than football. Perla will join us at 4. We're going to continue with your Celtics thoughts, deadline thoughts. You want to mix in on a Bruins thought? You can. We also want to bring up some rule changes in baseball. I feel have a real chance this time, and I'll tell you why. Right after Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.